Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Hey, good evening, family. La nostra familia. How's it going? It is Thursday night, February 10th, 2022. Welcome to Q&A with yours truly. Want to shout out our live channel members for tuning in tonight. I want to thank everybody for the well wishes. I am full-blown dealing with the flu right now. I will tell you, this will without a doubt be the quickest show that I have done in years and years and years. I'm a little surprised that I'm actually here right now, but there's a few things that definitely need to be discussed. And I'm wearing the Gotti shirt tonight. Shout out to some fellow New Yorkers who are actually tuning in tonight. Hey, you know, before I go any further, you know, I don't watch back my shows, but last night I realized after the show was over that maybe I was a little bit grumpy at times, and I wanted to give a little shout out to Dayhawk because, I appreciate all the support in every form that it comes in, spreading the word, being a channel member, super chats, everything. Sometimes, and I know a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about, we'll be talking about the opening of Raw, and someone will send something in talking about Impact Wrestling, or I'll be talking about Keith Lee, and then somebody will bring up a totally different topic. And I try to segue into other topics rather than stop midway in a rant about a particular topic. And then, you know, when someone after 5 minutes says, you didn't answer my question or my super chat, you know, it kind of throws me off a little bit. And yesterday, I think I was a little too grumpy. So I just felt the need to do that. I hope you could forgive me. And I guess the theme for tonight's show is forgiven. And look, if you notice, I have hardly tweeted about anything wrestling. Twitter is garbage for the most part. Not a lot of the people that are behind it, but, you know, it's a battle of acknowledgement. You know, what could draw the most attention instead of just having some regular conversation? Do you know how many times, like, I'll post something, and because it's just casual, regular conversation, like, you know, it doesn't get much of attention. I'm like, why am I even wasting my time? I mean, I post something in the community section over here and it gets 100 times more. And I realize my family is here. Whether it's the video or the audio, anybody that tunes in, you're my family. And this is why I do it. And rather than post a tweet that I know people, let me say it like this. I'm not stupid that there are a lot of people out there that are afraid to post a comment expressing their opinion that might not be popular right now. And because they express their opinion, there's a lot of fear of repercussion, backlash, criticism, put downs. This has to do with Tony Khan. And if you look at the title of tonight's show, I think you could see where I'm going with this already. Jessica Ruiz, shout out to you. Your comment did not go unnoticed. But yet, you made so much sense. And she posted it on Tony Khan's tweet that got thousands and thousands of likes. And what she said that made so much sense, she got 2 likes out of it. And I was surprised that people didn't go after her. Maybe because she's a woman. And I know that sounds sexist, but, you know, Twitter, you go after certain groups, you know, you, oh, oof. So why am I saying all of this? This might come across as a little nitpicking, but you remember my Max Casper, that's the ghost, Max Caster raps, telling you all pretty much sooner or later, you're going to realize that AEW is another wrestling promotion. It's a good one, and I am enjoying the crap out of it, but there's nothing tremendously different. Sure, Tony Khan has a better relationship with his fans. Vince McMahon, Triple H, Bruce Pritchard, and everybody else, Nick Khan, have zero relationship with the fans. So I give that to Tony Khan. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody thinks that everybody that works behind the scenes in AEW, altar boys and scholars, and if you're not in that inner circle or you do something tremendously outrageous, like the Sammy Guevara stuff that leaked out, what was it, about Sasha Banks? That was inexcusable. There was no way to skate around that. But the allegations towards Darby Allin, the allegations of Justin Roberts, look, I live in a country that you're innocent until proven guilty. So I'm not saying that they should have deserved anything, but you could see how the politics go. I mean, you have Brian Kendrick, which said some outrageous crap 10 years ago, and Tony Khan did the right thing by taking him off last week's show. You know, but there are a lot of other wrestlers that are on that show that there are video cam footage of them saying some outrageous things to fans over the years, and everybody just turns a blind eye because it's their favorite on TV. So my point is that AEW, at the end of the day, you know, it's the first millennial promotion. I said that 3 years ago, and I kept beating it to death till people had headaches over it. But they're no different than any other promotion out there, whether it be Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, MLW. Well, MLW is ridiculous. The further you dig deep into MLW and their operations, you realize I'm total agreement with Brian Last. They're a fucking joke. And I really didn't want to curse tonight, but anyway, I just want to open up with this. And then everybody who is live right now, you have the floor, whatever you want to talk about, we'll get into. But, I think people should be called out for some of the things that they do. Do you remember when AEW first started and they hyped up this crazy, huge, earth-shattering announcement? And I know I'm being dramatic on Twitter, and it ended up that they were going to be in Jacksonville. And then Tony Khan goes on Twitter and he tells his own Twitter account, you need to be better than that, that you can't do that to the fans. Now we have to give him something. As if anybody in AEW, especially with social media, has a clear with him first. And he got away with it. And guess what? He got away with it again yesterday. Big time. And everybody that tried to, you know, politely call him out on it were either ignored, put down, criticized, or the usual, you justify bad behavior by bringing up bad behavior. What am I talking about? Kind of touched on it yesterday, but I did not see a tweet that Tony Khan wrote last night right after AEW went off the air. And I'm going to share with you right now, and this is coming from a guy that is a big AEW supporter. I am. I'm an AEW fan. I'm an AEW supporter, but I call it right down the middle. And I'm not going to overly gush just to hope that I get acknowledged or get some attention down the line. Do you remember this Friday, right after Rampage? This was three tweets that Tony Khan had posted. Actually, let's go back to the first one, because the first one really is just a general statement. Let's go to the first one. Okay, here we go. All right, there's the first one. For those in audio only, Tony Khan had said on Friday, the Forbidden Door can be open for anyone from any promotion in the world, whether or not it's a company AEW is on good terms with, even if it's someone from a company that's open for business. They're also welcome to slam the door in the face of their prior company. Now, that's a general statement. But obviously, it had to do with last night's Dynamite, because a minute later, he proceeded to say the following And you got to really pay close attention to this. Here we go. Isaiah Cassidy was on Rampage last Friday. So Tony Khan says, and I quote, "What a great showing in tonight's Rampage title bout with Isaiah Cassidy. He has earned a qualifying match for a spot in the Face of the Revolution ladder match with a TNT title shot at stake. His opponent will debut Wednesday and sign a contract with AEW." Tweet number two, nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Now, obviously, we know that person was Keith Lee. Here is tweet number three that got all the buzz. And remember, these three tweets were done within 10 minutes total. The third tweet that he said, and this is the powerful one. "The big announcement for Wednesday's Dynamite that we referenced on Rampage, a free agent debut, and the person walking through the forbidden door are one and the same. They're walking in the door, signing a contract, then slamming the door shut. Forbidden door, forbidden door, forbidden door." Tony Khan yesterday was granted the forgiven door over a forbidden mistake. There was no forbidden door with Keith Lee. Keith Lee was fired by WWE. Walking out in another company, signing a contract, slamming the door shut. WWE slammed that door shut for you. And I'm not saying that to disrespect Keith Lee. He was fired. You write a tweet like this, teasing forbidden door, forbidden door, forbidden door. People hoped that Keith Lee would debut, but people thought Jeff Hardy out of everything else because it made total sense based on Tony Khan's comments. So last night, Keith Lee makes his debut, not Forbidden Door. It's not Forbidden Door. He was fired from WWE, did his no-compete as a professional would, served his 90 days, got paid for it, and signed a free agent contract with AEW. Tony Khan hyped up the Forbidden Door with yesterday, and Jay White was shown on the screen attacking Roppongi Vice. Did anybody ever see any banner that Jay White is All Elite? We brought it up yesterday that Jay White still is wrestling for Impact, still has commitments elsewhere. Jay White is not signed to AEW. So, not a big deal. Not a big deal. Until I read this tweet that Tony Khan wrote right after Dynamite went off the air yesterday. I want you to listen to this closely because this reminds me of the Jacksonville tweet. "I didn't secure Jay White until Sunday. I realized after the fact that Friday night I butchered my own definition of the forbidden door in hyping tonight. I heard the fans' feedback, and I wanted to ensure that tonight was a special Dynamite for all. Thank you for everyone who watched." Tony Khan cares about his fans. There is no question whatsoever. Jay White did not sign a contract with AEW. He is trying to twist Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, all weekend, Forbidden Door, waited until after Dynamite aired. "Oh, I made a mistake." Tony Khan is a wrestling promoter, snake oil salesman, a nicer one. He's a snake oil salesman just like any other wrestling promoter. There's a lot of wrestling promoters over the years that were really, really nice people. But at the end of the day, this guy made these claims, hyped it up, and he did, look, he succeeded. 1,129,000 viewers. That is an excellent number. Obviously, a lot of curious heads tuned in to see what the surprise was going to be, what the Forbidden Door, signing the contract, slamming the door shut. And then you realize, wait a minute, Keith Lee was a free agent. He got fired. Wait, I didn't see, he didn't, Jay White didn't sign with AEW. So where's his Forbidden Door? Oh, I didn't secure Jay White until Sunday. Oh, so you premature ejaculated with your tweets on Friday. No, but it was Keith Lee. But wait, Keith Lee was a free agent. See, you can't say this publicly because people can't handle a little bit of criticism. It is ignored. It is frowned upon. It is ripped apart. And basically, fans, because they are gushing, because it is very, very rare in the history of pro wrestling that a promoter is this sociable with the everyday Tom, Dick, or Harry. You go back our entire lifetime as wrestling fans. Other than maybe a local indie promotion, no one is this sociable and this open. And what happens yesterday? Tony Khan was granted the Forgiven Door for making a forbidden mistake. He pulled the Dixie Carter. It's exactly what he did. Do you remember my old sign? You know, Dixie Carter. I'm saying it in my Ron Washington voice from Welcome Back, Carter. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Carter? No, I don't sound French. He did a Dixie Carter this weekend. And nobody other than a few of you would call him out on it. How dare anybody, God forbid, somebody that writes an article, does a podcast, covers a website, God forbid, they call, oh, you're just picking, you're just playing cement. No, you're not. You're not. I like Tony Khan. I understand Tony Khan. Why do you think I did those spoofs of Max Caster raps? Go revisit them. I'm not going to play them tonight. I won't pain you with that. But soon you'll realize what AEW is. AEW is just another wrestling promotion like anyone else. But the fans out there do not want to be lied to. They don't want to be teased. They don't want to be clickbaited. And they will sacrifice being clickbaited as long as they are part of some type of group. That's why you see so many podcasts. Did Paige debut at the Rumble? No. Or return, I should say? No. You saw people lying over and over and over about story after story after story. And nobody confronted, because the minute you confront, you're out of the group. You're out of the faction. You're out of the movement, whatever it is. So people would rather just take it up the ass and take it and take it and take it so they could still be part of the bigger picture. And that's the truth. That is the truth. I commend Tony Khan. I commend him. He is doing what any other wrestling promoter would do. Hype, 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 hype. Worry about the consequences later on. And once again, Tony Khan granted the Forgiven Door. Very, very slick on his part. Nobody of relevance. I'm not relevant. Nobody of relevance will call him out on that. And since we're talking about Tony Khan, James Campbell is asking me about Melina. I'm actually glad you did, because I want to segue away from that topic. That was just an opening statement. Had to get that off my chest, because I just watch people just suck up and melt because they want to be part of a bigger picture. They sell themselves every day. And it's a little disappointing, But there's only so far you could do that. There's only so far. That's where the Bischoffs come in. That's where the Vince Russos come in, whether you like them or not. That's where the Jim Cornettes come in. That's where Hall of Famers come in. That's where people who have no agenda, that's where they come in. Because when they make those statements, it is logged, it is saved, and sooner or later, it'll get rehashed and brought up. Okay, so let's move to Molina, because I like this. James Campbell has had his question for a while. With Molina showing pretty decent at the Rumble, and obviously was very happy being back in WWE, is there any chance we get to see Molina and Sasha feud for Mania? It's something that we have talked about before on the show. I would definitely be fine with Molina versus Sasha at WrestleMania. I think that would be a hell of a lot of fun. There's no reason why they can't do that. Sasha right now is not 100%. She is close to a full-time return, but she's not there yet. So if Sasha, you know, can't go at full capacity. Now, I still think we may end up getting Sasha and Bayley as a tag team. But Molina? Sure. I mean, see, this is the thing. This is why I wish more fans would watch other wrestling. You know, I mean, of course, Mickey James, it's not that been that long since she's been gone from WWE. But Molina has been wrestling in NWA. She's been making appearances on various feds. There is so much footage of Molina wrestling in the last year or two. So when, I'm not saying you're doing this, James, but I'm saying for the casual fan out there, wow, you know, Lita looks good. Or, okay, maybe, you know, because she really hasn't been in the ring very recently. But when it comes to Molina, when it comes to others, there is so many much opportunity to see what they can do. And Molina could definitely still go. I don't know if WWE would really invest that much time to reintroduce Molina to the young WWE universe, because WWE is still a family entertainment product. It is TV PG. And I definitely think Sasha Banks versus Molina would be great. I tell you the truth, I kind of wish that it would have happened in Saudi Arabia for the simple reason that, you know, the Crown Prince in Saudi Arabia likes nostalgia quite a bit. And for the amount of money that's involved, WWE will bring back the nostalgia to please them and to keep them happy for the next deal down the line. So could we see that? Yes, we definitely can. Will it happen at WrestleMania? I'm not sure, because there are a lot. There's a lot of people in the WWE universe that have only heard of Molina, never really paid any attention to her. And they would have to do a full-blown reintroduction, because for current WWE fans, she's not on the level of Lita or Trish Stratus. And I don't know if WWE would invest that much time. But it is a very good question. It is an excellent question. You know, somebody wrote this at the beginning of the show, and I got it right before we went live tonight. Arturo Rivera. El Rudo! Rudo! AAA announcer passed away. Fucking, was it 67? Yeah, 67. I thought it said 87. I was like, wait a minute. I remember listening to him decades ago. I didn't think he was that old decades ago. 67 years old, he passed away. You know, I have not heard him in years, but that brings back memories. I mean, if any of you out there that never watched Rey Mysterio in AAA, I'm not talking in recent years. I'm talking about the 90s. One of my fond memories of watching wrestling in the 90s was, I don't know if it was Telemundo as of yet, but here in New York, it was Channel 47, I believe, and maybe Channel 41 as well. But Channel 47 was a Latino, I think that's the right way to put it, a Latino channel on TV, UHF TV. And I think it was Saturdays. You would turn it on, and you would have Psychosis, La Parca, Rey Mysterio, Hoovy down the line, and you had all the regulars, Super Porky, and everyone else, and the commentators, and the fans that would bring the air horns. And then you have the big Corona logo along the ring, the big Corona logo. I'm telling you, if any of you out there never experienced watching AAA wrestling in the 90s, there's a lot of footage. Eddie Guerrero was doing a little bit at the time. You got to go on YouTube because there is footage. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's I always enjoyed it. Even if some of the wrestling sucked, even if a lot of comedy would be mixed in with this stuff. I mean, it's some wild comedic shit if you go back and watch it. But all I remember is all the mass wrestlers, you know, the loud air horns by the fans, the big Corona, and you have commentators like Arturo Rivera, and they would just be loud. It'd sound like a soccer game. It would sound like a freaking soccer game, but it would be wrestling instead of soccer. Absolutely loved it. So speaking of soccer, Nero Fay, hope you're feeling well. Do I think wrestling fans give too much attention to loyalty? He's a soccer fan, and he can watch English soccer, Spanish soccer, but he doesn't have loyalty to his specific league. Yeah. Yeah, of course, they have a lot more loyalty to pro wrestling. You know, if you notice outside of wrestling, you do find a lot of people in the entertainment world and the sports world that will make fun of wrestling because it's really more the behavior of wrestling fans and some of the extremes that they go simply to, like I said before, you know, to be part of a movement, a faction. I mean, everything is amazing, epic, unbelievable. Oh, I could die tomorrow and I'm happy and I'm crying right now. I'm shaking and this and that. Come on. You know, I'm shaking when it's 5 degrees outside and my hair is wet. I'm not shaking because Christian made his return. You know, oh, and speaking of, I got to show you all this. Remember last night, for anybody that did not check out yesterday's show, I ended up opening an entire hobby box of AEW cards from Upper Deck. It was, in my opinion, an epic fail. I had a total of 11 Frankie Kazarian cards. And props to whoever said that one of the cards was had a serial number, and he was right. It was still Frankie Kazarian. But there was no autographs in the box. There was only, in my opinion, one insert, and it was this one. MJF relic card. Limited to 50. This was the only card out of the entire box that had any type of value. Let me see if I can put it up close.
Let me see if you can see that better. Is that, you can see that a little bit? Okay.
Do you know, I went on eBay, and you really can't go by current auctions because AEW is obviously the new kid on the block still, and people put crazy prices for things they want to sell. I went, checked out completed auctions for relic cards. Number one, there's no MJF card that was ever available, but some of the relic cards like that, that were limited to 100, this is limited to 50. Some of those relic cards went for $400. It's insane. I'm throwing that son of a bitch on eBay. I'm going to put $500 on there. And I bet you I get somebody that buys it. I can't believe it. I have so many WWE relic cards. I got relic cards up my ass. And I honestly didn't think they were worth much. I'm sure this is different. But I had no idea. I was looking at this today at some complete auction. I'm like, holy shit. Hey, it's crazy what some of them, $300, $400 for that. So I'm putting the MJF one up. Absolutely. I'm still not convinced it's a piece of his tights. What I did find out is that what he is wearing on here is from the night where he won the second tournament. Oh, shit. Did I just drop it? I just dropped it. It's okay. It's still perfect condition. It's so thick. That's what she said. The night he won the second diamond, battle royal, diamond ring. So I think that's from that night. So I got to go back and I have to look at his attire from that night. I think it's his elbow pads. You know, from what I looked online, it is part of his tights. It's just the material looks a little strange, in my opinion. So now the one you're talking about, I don't think that was limited to 50. If it was, I got the box for nothing. I got the box for nothing. So if I end up getting a couple of bucks out of it, that's cool. What I'll do is whatever I get for it, then I'll just put it back up and reinvest into the show. So we didn't do predictions yet for this year. We didn't even do awards yet. I mean, because the year flies by so fast. I think Mish and I, maybe next week or the week after, we'll just do an overview of, you know, our choices. I mean, look, I have said so many predictions in shows in the last couple of months, from the trios, belts, to, you know, other things. You know, it's just that I don't make it into one episode, and maybe that's sloppiness on my part, but you know, I'm literally doing a show every day. The only day I don't do a show is on Friday. So, you know, when you don't have any time to breathe with it, you know, it's hard to, like, fit it in. Unless I, you know, start trimming back a show here and there. So, we'll see. We'll see. But, hey, even if I get $200 for it, I'll just put it back into the show. So, anyway, so what else? Harris B, are we getting physical versions of the online cards that we got back in the fall? The Punk card? Those cards have been out, Harris. I've given away about 30 or 40 CM Punk cards already. I gave away in contest a bunch. I gave a few away for people who donated money to Jimmy Rave, you know, who made a donation, certain amount of money. Yeah, they've been out for a while. I still have a bunch just sitting in a box. No, they've been out for a while now. I never put any on eBay. You know, there's still people that are selling them. Hell, just to show you how crazy things are, I still have tons of CM Punk ice cream wrappers just laying around. I got at least 10. Just sitting around. Harris says he never got them and he ordered 4 of the Cole cards and a Danielson. No, they're around. I gave away, not too long ago, I gave away a Cole, Danielson, and Punk card, 3 of them. So, no, they're around. You got to check with Upper Deck. They definitely are out. I had 3 cards in my possession and I gave them away. So they're definitely around. Yeah, so Fly, I went on a rant a few minutes ago that, you know, the surprise worked, 1,129,000, but rewind the episode because, you know, it was a rating success for Tony Khan. I give him nothing but credit for it, but it was deception, clear deception. And you know why I say it was deception? Because the tweet that I read earlier, that he didn't secure Jay White until Sunday. He waited until after Dynamite went off the air to clear the air. He said it Friday. It's at Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And once Dynamite was over, oh, now we clear the air. That's the fact, Jack. So, yeah, you got to go on the Upper Deck site. They definitely have them. Definitely have them. Yeah, no, those CM Punk cards I expected would go down in value. They were selling at one point $50 to $60 a card. I was going to put a whole bunch up for like $25 a pop, but I figured, you know what, off once in a while, give some away, because I know there's enough people out there that would like to have one and keep it. You know, I pulled back on the contest a little bit because, you know, I started to see a pattern where you get a whole surge of people tuning in for a contest, and then when there's no contest, it's bye-bye. So, you know, we'll do one down the line. And plus, you know, look, there's a lot of expenses going on, and I want to give back to everybody who tunes in, and there's got to be a little balance here and there. I mean, there are so many people out there with shows that give away nothing. They give away other people's stuff. You know, they don't give nothing away on their own stuff. And I don't want to be, you know, that guy that does that. So, if not title for title, who do I think stands the best chance to challenge Lashley for the WWE title? Rollins is going to go. I'm telling you, I'm sticking to what I said a couple of weeks ago. Rollins is going to face Kevin Owens. He's going to face Kevin Owens. I still don't think that's going to change. I wish Big E would still take on Bobby Lashley. Obviously, Big E on SmackDown right now because Xavier Woods is injured. I don't know how you bring that back. I don't know. I'm a little concerned for Bobby Lashley. Maybe AJ Styles takes on Bobby Lashley. You know, I mean, they're still teasing Bobby Lashley as a babyface, if you notice. They're still teasing. I mean, he's still acknowledging fans. So I'm a little perplexed right now. I'm starting to think they could very well do title for title, but there's a lot of buzz that Roman Reigns is going to take some time off after WrestleMania, a little bit of rest. And I just can't see Brock Lesnar being on both brands for that long. I mean, let's be honest. We've seen Brock Lesnar on TV more the last bunch of months than we've seen him in years. I mean, there were times that he would disappear for a month, 6 weeks at a time. It almost felt, remember Paul Heyman in that interview, that Brock Lesnar should be like a special attraction, like shows up once in a while? So it's really interesting. It makes you wonder how much additional money they paid him for the extra appearances. So, Riddle is not bad, but a lot of people still think Riddle versus Orton at Mania. I wouldn't mind Riddle versus Bobby Lashley. That's not bad. Hell, some people want Omos versus Bobby Lashley. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Near thinks we're going to get a triple threat tag match at Mania. RK-Bro, Alpha Academy, Owens, and Rollins. Trust me on this one. I have, maybe because I'm old, maybe because I'm just a little too observant, but I have seen things developing months before others out there. And, you know, probably the one that triggered people the most was Becky and Ronda was the match. And immediately after, it just seemed like Charlotte was going to be put in that mix. And everybody was like, you're fucking nuts. You're this, you're that. No, they're not doing that. And I'm telling you, she's needed. I'm not going to get into all that again. They are planting the seeds for Kevin Owens to turn on Seth Rollins. They are planting the seeds. They are look, it's possible they team up at Mania and then Owens turns on him. during Mania, but I don't see that. Owens versus Rollins is a match that everybody would want to see. You know, I think RK-Bro is going to face Alpha Academy before Mania. Before Mania. So I don't see it. I don't see it. Hey, it's not a bad idea. I'm not saying it's not a bad idea. I don't see it. They're planting the seeds that Kevin Owens may not even be at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins, it's going to make Kevin Owens look, feel like Seth is having everything handed to him. And Kevin Owens is going to be extremely jealous. And Kevin Owens will destroy Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins will insist on to Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, I want Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. And that's how Kevin Owens gets his match at WrestleMania. That's where I see it going. I think it's still going to happen. Yeah, that's a good question, Soulfly. I wonder where this leaves Finn Balor at WrestleMania. Good question. I mean, hell, just put Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. Let them wrestle for 12 to 15 minutes. I think we'll all be happy. Oof. I woke up this morning, and you know how I knew I was really sick last night? You know, obviously you could see it, you could hear it, but I drink like cold water overnight. Sometimes I'll grab like a non-caffeinated diet soda because I like carbonation. And I noticed last night, every time I took a sip of something very, very cold, it hurt. And I'm not going to lie. I'm going to admit this. Some people are going to think I'm nuts. I should have put it in the room to show you, but there is a bootleg Canadian pharmacy that I have bought stuff from for years. You can't buy narcotics. I want to make that clear. But, you know, like skin cream, antibiotics, Celebrex, things like that, you could buy it. And for years, I have been buying Z-Packs from this Canadian pharmacy. You don't need a prescription or anything. It's one of these sites that sells like lots of Viagra and Cialis and all that stuff. You don't need a prescription. So every year I buy like 6 to 8 Z-Packs. And I give a couple of my parents and I keep a couple here. And if I get a time where I really don't feel well and my throat hurts and this like that, I take a Z-Pack. So I actually took 2 this morning, and I felt great up until about maybe 2 or 3 hours ago, and then I started really feeling crappy again. So I know you got to be careful with that stuff, but I honestly trust the place. I don't. It's inside. I'm not going to get it now, but I buy them online. No prescription. I buy like 8 packs. I get like 42 pills, and then you just cut the foils down into 6 because you take 2 the first day. And then you take 1 a day for 4 straight days. So do I think Sting is being too reckless in the ring? Well, I brought this up last week. You know, no matter how good Sting feels right now, the body breaks down. Age does play a factor. And, you know, how many times have you heard somebody older, simple little fall, they break their hip. Simple little fall, they break their leg. I mean, there was somebody legendary in wrestling not too long ago that fell and I think broke their hip or broke their leg. I mean, you get older, the bones get fragile. They get much more fragile. I don't care who you are. Now, obviously, there's a lot of tests you could have done to see, but, you know, he obviously feels great right now. He's not one to zoot himself up with pain medication, so he just numbs the pain. Listen, when I did the indie stuff, if it wasn't for my pain medication, I would have never been able to do the stuff that I did. You take that. I always told, well, I don't want to tell it here right now. It's not right, but you know, but for me, you know, makes you feel like $1 million, makes you feel like you could do anything. So you know, he obviously feels really, really good, but that doesn't mean you still do it. You know, so I just hope to God we don't have him take a bump one day and it ends up with something broken. And it almost feels like, I hate to say it like this, but like I can't envision Sting just one day saying, you know what? Yeah, that's it. My in-ring career is over. Unless he has a match and he is so banged up and sore afterwards that he's just like, look, I can't. I almost feel like an injury is going to be the only way Sting officially retires. I think an injury, hopefully it's nothing serious, but God bless him, man. God bless him at that age. You know, of course, the face paint covers up the age. I mean, I used to love the Missing Link, how old he got. He was still wrestling. You put the makeup on, you can't tell how old the person is. And Sting, you know, it's, you know, he doesn't like take his shirt off. So God bless him. God bless him. Enjoy any time he's in the ring. Enjoy it because it could be the last time that he is actually an in-ring competitor. You know, I see his age, and whenever they advertise him, I don't care who he's for. I don't care if it's 2.0. I don't care if it's somebody top notch or if it's a scrub. He is in a match. I enjoy it because that might be the last match I ever see him as an active wrestler. So, oh yeah, Dorian, thank you. I read that last night right before sleep. Yeah, I know this is going to sound really, really warped. I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way. I know I'm a little shungada tonight. I'm battling the flu. Bob Saget came out yesterday that he died from head trauma, that he banged his head, and they think it might have been the headboard in his hotel room, and he went to sleep thinking it was no big deal, and he never woke up. I know that doesn't sound controversial, but this may come across weird to some out there, and I hope it doesn't. But I'm almost glad that that's the reason. I'm almost glad because he was so young and seemed that he was in great health, that when someone just has a wonderful time, is praising the crowd, says he loves his wife, goes to sleep that young and passes, my God, what could happen to any of us? So the fact that now there was some incident that led to it, I almost feel better about it. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody out there. I mean, of course, nobody wanted him to bang his head, but, you know, I don't know. It just feels like, all right, you know, maybe I'm not as close to, you know, to meeting my maker or any one of us out there. We don't know exactly how he banged his head. You know, I don't even know. I don't even think he told his wife. There's no, as far as I saw, there's no reports that he told his wife, ow, just bang my head. I'm going to take an aspirin, go to bed. You know, if that was the case, we probably would have heard about it the day that he passed. But the fact that they found the bruise, and they probably can line it up with something, you know, but wow, you know, just a tragedy, absolute tragedy. But even that is scary. You know, I mean, you hit your head, and it's not serious enough where you think, oh, I got to go to the hospital, or you don't even tell someone, you just brush it off like, ow, I'm going to go to bed. Oh, that's horrible, man. That's horrible. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks, man. And it sucks because a little tiny little freak incident could start a chain reaction of events. You know, it's rough, man. It's rough. You never know. That's why, you know, I'm sorry for bringing up the stuff with my mom yesterday, that freaking wrong number that called. I actually found out that it was a wrong number. It was not a scam call because I looked a little bit further online and it was just a regular residential number. It's not a number that ever called me before, and it was not a scam. But, you know, me and my environment, you know, I usually say goodnight to my fiance before I do a show, unless it's 8 o'clock, you know, then I talk to her afterwards. But my parents, my mom goes to bed at like 8 o'clock. She's got a sleep apnea machine, so I don't call her late because then she's got to remove the hose and everything like that. But, you know, she was just in the hospital yesterday, and this Monday, my father's got to go and get at least one stent put in. And that shit's scary because it was 1 year ago this week that my father went in after a stress test and they did triple bypass on him. So he's going in this Monday and having at least one stent put in. So when my phone rings late at night, something's up. Something's up, you know. There ain't no ex-girlfriends lingering around that have this number. This number's a different number. Tomorrow, I'm telling you, tomorrow is never guaranteed. I know it sounds cliche to some of you out there, and it might just, you know, maybe some people don't even want to think about it, but you really should. That's why, you know, I have mended so many fences with friends in my personal life, relatives, you know. Without getting too personal, my wedding in September. I've had my mom and my dad and her mom and her dad said as well, why don't you two just go to Las Vegas, get married? Why spend that kind of money on a ceremony? You guys don't have it like that. For people that don't know, I refuse to ask my mother or my father for a penny. And I don't want to take money from her parents as well. They offered. And I said, no, I want to try to do it all myself. And my mom especially, she's got a lot of bills. Even today with Valentine's Day, I sent my mom flowers. Today, she got them. And I didn't do it today to get a discount. But she called me up. She's like, I need you to do me a big favor. I said, sure, what's up? She's like, please don't send me anything for Valentine's Day. I know you got a lot of bills. I was like, I promise you I won't order nothing. An hour later, she got this giant thing of flowers, and she's like, you son of a bitch. And I'm like, Ma, I told you I wasn't going to order nothing. She's like, yeah, because you ordered a couple of days ago. Ooh, I hit the wrong button. But, yeah, I know, I was playing semantics. But the point is, you know, they said to me repeatedly, you got all these bills, you know, you don't have it like that. Why are you? And I said, because this might be the last big get together with a lot of my relatives, you know, alive. My uncle has stage 4 cancer. My dad is not in great health. My mom is not in great health. I don't know what everything looks like a year from now. Hell, I might not even be around. So this might be the last big party that everybody gets together. That's why I want to do it, besides obviously getting married. Oh, yeah, no, I got the soundboard has a lot of things. I just don't have them labeled. See, I got there's a whole bunch. There's like 32 others. I just don't have them programmed, so. Yeah, I heard about what was going on overseas during Bibi's reign. Yeah, police had tracking mobile devices without approval. Yeah, there's some wild stuff you hear about across the globe, even in the United States as well. Here's some wild stuff. But, yeah, that's why, just to get back what I was saying, you know, I do not want to be one of those. And I think it was The Rock and Rocky Johnson that really, really hit me. As maybe the ridiculous as it may sound to some, but when Rocky Johnson passed away, and I remember The Rock saying he wish he had that one more opportunity to spend some time with his dad. Of course, you know, you always want that one last opportunity, but it really had me thinking like, no, I'm not going to be lazy. Oh, I'll see you next week. I'm going to stay home this week. I'll see you next. No, I'm not doing that, because leave it the week that I don't go and then something happens. I still have the Green Giant stuff somewhere. I still have everything. Like I said, because there's a show almost every day, I don't have time to like rearrange and shift things and upgrade things. And, you know, I keep getting the alerts. Update to Windows 11. What are you waiting for? Update to Windows 11. Update. They're like forcing me to do it. I'm kind of afraid that it may like reset all my settings. No joke. I have stuff from this company called Elgato. And they had this big software update today. And when I did the update, my Stream Deck, I have my camera settings in the Stream Deck. So I hit a button. The color tonight might look better or might look worse, but all my settings got reset. And I pressed the button, and everything looked all out of whack. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? I got a show, the show to do in 5 minutes. So I don't like to mess with stuff. It's pretty cool for those that like the video stuff. I told you, the person that made me that traffic light, he said, I got to have a nice surprise over the weekend. I'm going to get the old retro don't walk ones. Going to have that as well. So going to probably put it on the other side. I think Braun Strowman comes back to WWE. I really do. He was not that bad. He was not that bad. Plus, you know, him and Raquel Gonzalez are an item. A lot of people still don't even know that. I haven't heard anything bad about Braun Strowman. I've heard he's a pretty likable guy. So I'm a little surprised. I'm still surprised that he got let go when he did. I think people that never liked Braun Strowman, I think they came to their own conclusions as to why. Obviously, WWE did not feel he was worth the money he was being paid. But I think by now, Braun Strowman is probably has to swallow a little piece of humble pie. Because a lot of these promotions, they're not knocking down his forbidden door to sign any long-term commitments. And if you notice the bigger names in wrestling that have been let go, you know, from Wyndham to Braun and others, you know, they didn't go running to AEW because Tony Khan's contracts are not on that financial level that everybody thinks it is. It's just that these wrestlers can compensate it because they have freedom to make money elsewhere. So that's what makes AEW attractive. But you notice, it's not a, you know, I keep seeing people like, oh, you know, like AEW signs mostly white people. And I think that's ridiculous. But I think the contracts are structured for people who game, for people who Twitch, for people who have other avenues of revenue. Cameo. You see, there are people out there that fit that mold. Oh, I could game, I could cameo, I could do this, I could sell my shirts, I could do that, I could do this, you know? And you put it all together and it's nice income. Not every person does that in wrestling. Let's see. Yeah, Strowman. I tell you the truth, I'm not saying Strowman will be back by WrestleMania, but, you know, that's one of those predictions. I really believe either Strowman or Bray Wyatt will be back in WWE before the end of 2022. I really do believe that. You know, just random thing today that pissed me off a little bit. Mickie James did a few interviews the last couple of days. Mickie James revealed that she saw Nick Khan at the Royal Rumble, and Nick Khan went out of his way to apologize to her. And simply because people don't like WWE, and simply because people don't like Nick Khan, instead of just saying, oh, it was pretty cool of him to do, people are like, oh, he didn't mean it. He's just saying that for PR. I'm like, man, you know, once in a while, just give someone props for doing right for a situation. I think Nick Khan was absolutely genuine in doing that. And right away, the usual suspects ripping him to pieces. It's awful. I think that's awful. Mickey James absolutely deserves the respect. Absolutely. I think she has earned that. I mean, everybody should be respected, but she has earned it. And WWE went out of their way. In fact, I almost feel like they may have brought her in not to try to be part of the Forbidden Door, but to right the wrong, you know, to mend fences with her. They probably realized, wow, that's someone that doesn't deserve that. And the way how emotional she became over it afterwards, I mean, they got rid of Mark Carano. And yes, it does feel like they just found an excuse to get rid of Mark Carano. But still, you know, that guy was very high up over there and they let him go over that incident. That just shows you, you know. So, look, I think if Mickey James tells us that it was sincere and she feels very, very good about it, we should respect that and go along with it instead of always feeling that there's something nefarious behind it. So, Nier, he's going to bed. Believe me, I'm almost ready to wrap it up, too. You know, I'm sorry that we're going to end the show a little early today. I know it's a little, it feels weird to finish a show under 90 minutes, but time flies when you're having fun, and I'll be back here Saturday. You know, it's Thursday evening right now. I'll be back in 48 hours, and I have a boatload of topics that I definitely want to put together for Saturday. Saturday, you know, Saturday is the flagship show. That show is the flagship show. That show is is what got me on Blue Wire. So, you know, I put on the tux. It'll give me 48 hours to get a little stronger, feel a little better. But, yeah, we're going to start wrapping this up very, very shortly because we're already at 63 minutes. So I know some people get like, huh? But it's all good. As far as the video side of it, just you channel members get this. Everyone gets the audio version of it. But, you know, I appreciate everybody who joins me live. And, you know, for channel members, you know, I'm not trying to be rude by not taking questions in advance. But, you know, stop by live. You know, stop by for a little bit. Ask a couple of questions. Yeah, but this show is on. No, this show is on. Well, then, you know, what do you want me to say? You know? Stop by for a few minutes. Ask. Listen, when we do these, I'm just sitting here and chatting with everybody who is live right now. So you come in, ask away. Ask whatever is on your mind. That's the right way to go. Yeah, it's kind of strange. Oh, you know, I don't know if you all are aware of it. I know I mentioned it last week, but 2 weeks from today, February 24th, I don't see why it would change, but I'm going to have Jason Solomons on. Yes, the show will be available for everybody. It's not going to be just channel members. I don't know if we're going to take questions in advance. And the reason why I don't think I'm going to do that is because you're going to get a whole boatload of people that are going to ask, you know, anything from favorite this to something about us. And then if we're going to get stuck answering all sending questions in advance, everybody who tunes in live, you know, how do you do both? So we're probably just going to keep it for live viewers, but, you know, channel members obviously will get VIP status. But, 2 weeks from today. And I got to get a template made up, because I want to have his logo on there and everything. I think that's the nice way to put it. You know, I don't want it to feel like it's my show and somebody is joining me. I want it to feel like it's equal. So, yeah, as of right now, it's 2 weeks from tonight. We may start earlier. I'm not going to lie. He works. just like I do. He gets up early, just like I do. So we may actually start it at 8 o'clock Eastern instead of 10, you know, just for one night, obviously. You know, I know that may overlap other people's shows out there, but let me tell you something. A lot of those shows that start earlier, they go an extra hour. They have no problem still doing their show while I'm live. You know, they don't cut it early. Oh, DT, you know, they just do. And I don't expect them to. So if we have to start early, we will. By next week, I'll let everybody know what the start time will be. So you know that I'm under the weather, that I drank that much already, and we're only here 1 hour. So, yeah. Impact tonight, my God, their numbers nosedived last week. And I get it. I get it. There was a little curiosity, wondering if there was going to be any WWE stuff going on in Impact, which didn't. But I hope they rebound from that sharp decline, because if they're going to start lingering around 100,000 mark again, that's not good. That's not good, because what that says is that this Ring of Honor, you know, perceived invasion is starting to die out. So I hope that they can rebound a little bit. Someone is asking me, what do I think their ideal rating should be right now? At least 150, 160. I know that may still sound like a pathetic number, and it is, but, you know, it still would be about a 30, 35% increase from a couple of months ago. I mean, you know, there's nobody out there in wrestling that is going to start generating hundreds of thousands of viewers. I think Rampage kind of shows you that. You know, the Young Bucks are going to be on Friday. I mean, yeah, we haven't seen that much of the Young Bucks recently, but what do you think? Young Bucks are going to suddenly draw 900,000 viewers on a Friday night? No. So there's very few people out there that draw crazy numbers, you know. I mean, it takes a big surprise factor in Forbidden Door tease to get 1.1. Yet Raw, that is a awful show many times, still gets 1.5, 1.4, 1.6, 1.7, whatever it is. And SmackDown, yeah, I mean, look, it's Roman Reigns, obviously, and it's a different network, but still, you know, do all that for 1.1, you know. But I'll say this, you go back a year for AEW, a year ago, they were probably doing around 700,000 viewers. Sure, COVID 1 year ago is much different than COVID of now, but still, 700,000 viewers and now doing around 1 million, that is a 20, 30% increase. You do that every year, even if you do 10% a year. You know, it's almost like when you gain weight. Like, oh, I only gained weight. I only gained 4 pounds this year. It's not a big deal. Yeah, but if you gain 4 more pounds next year and 4 pounds the year after that, in 10 years, you gain 40 pounds. You'll be like, what the hell happened? So if AEW, even if their ratings went up 5 to 10% a year, 5 years from now, that's huge. That's huge. So as long as they're going up, take your time, man. Take your time. Doesn't have to be overnight. And I get it. You know, people don't want to wait 5 years, because 5 years from now, CM Punk may no longer be wrestling. Some of those wrestlers there may be gone. But on the flip side of it, some wrestlers that you like in WWE may end up there. So you really don't know. But AEW's done a fabulous job. They have. They have. To come out of nowhere and 2-3 years later, I remember TNA in their first couple of years. And believe me when I tell you, I have the podcast to back it up. The perception of NWA and TNA, NWA and TNA, the perception of NWA TNA in 2004, 2005, once Kurt Angle came in and Samoa Joe, it was a little different. But still, for those first year or two, it was kind of rough. But even with those guys that came in, before you knew it, you had your Hogan in there, and they went to Monday Night. You could see where they really started misstepping. But this feels totally different. This feels totally different. And Tony Khan, very, very smart for one thing that doesn't get enough credit. You don't hear these crazy international TV deals being done. Have you ever hear that? Oh, AEW inked a deal with blah, 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 blah in Zimbabwe or blah, 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 Stan. You know, like AEW is like, you know what? Let's just worry about TNT and TBS right now. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. They're not, right now, they're still a small promotion and they're staying small. They're not trying to be a big promotion that's small. And you don't want a big promotion to be small. See, that's where ECW ran into all the problems. It was a small promotion trying to be big, and then it got too big when it was still a small promotion, which it kind of sounds like the same thing, right? Kind of does, but it's not. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. I want to thank everybody for joining me live tonight. And, somebody said it might have even been Dominic before it went off the air. Yeah, it was. My thoughts on Facebook's $232 billion fall. Good. I don't go on Facebook anymore. My personal Facebook page that has my childhood friends, relatives, I think Mish is the only person that's on there that, you know, outside of my personal life. I have posted on there maybe two or three times in the last 2 years. I don't go on there anymore. I don't like Facebook. Even the Facebook page for the show. I have left other people's group pages because of the toxic atmosphere. It just blows me away that somebody could come across as a really, really good person and their Facebook page is the lowest of the low, and they allow it. So that's why I gave up my group, because I wasn't going to have that toxic atmosphere and then just sit back and let it rot, and that's what happens. You know, there's some good people and some good groups, but it gets taken over. Even the Discord, the old Discord channel, I don't even go on Discord anymore because there are a bunch of assholes that take it over, but because they want to be part of a group, you know, it's Facebook sucks. I mean, for some of you out there, I understand why you enjoy it, but for me, I'm not a fan of Facebook. If it closed down tomorrow, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. I would probably lose touch with some friends because a lot of my personal friends from my childhood, that's the only communication. We DM each other. I use Facebook for DMs. I don't use Facebook to post anymore. I don't even post episodes anymore. Everybody knows where the episodes are. You know, if they want to go to the episode, you go on the website, or you go on Blue Wire, or you go on YouTube, or go on Patreon if you want the ad-free versions. But I don't even post on it anymore. I had problems with Facebook a couple of years ago. For some reason, my website was flagged as spam. And I sent everything in, and after 2-3 weeks, I'm like, man, fuck you. And then they want me to advertise, and they want me to put my shows on. I'm like, fuck you. So I'm not a fan of Facebook. I could care less. I have a separate Discord, SoFly. The separate Discord is for basically Patreon. I mean, I had it on YouTube for a while, but it caught on a little bit, but basically it's for Patreon. I don't really go on Discord. Little by little, I'm moving away from Twitter and going to be posting a little bit more in a community section. I mean, I understand those that are VIP members here, La Nostra Familia, you know, anybody that's one step below, you don't see the other posts that are posted. I think that's a mistake that Facebook does, I mean, that YouTube does. But little by little, I'm going to be just posting in a community section here instead of Twitter. It's just, Twitter's just awful. Just awful, you know. And like I said, it's not all awful. There's a lot of awesome people on there, believe me. And I have muted about 80% of everybody that I follow because I just don't want the doom and gloom stuff. But I will say this, You know, when it got to the point that people can't even express an opinion, whether it's pro wrestling or politics or anything else, without having a concern of being lambasted or ripped apart, you know, taking Big Swall's side, getting ripped apart, criticizing a little bit, getting ripped apart. People are afraid. People are afraid to even like somebody's post that goes against the popular thought. You can't even like it because then you come across as militant or anti. And that's pretty much no. And you even see it, you know, like you stay on the wrestling topic. Oh, if you don't like intergender wrestling, and you're sexist or this and that. Or if you don't like women's wrestling, you're a sexist and this and that. If you don't think women should main event in wrestling, then you're this, you're that, you're this. I mean, I see there's a reason why even a lot of the legends are no longer on Twitter. You look, a lot of the legends are no longer on Twitter. Yes, their views are out of date. They're out of touch, no question. But you can't even express a different viewpoint anymore without having people go on a crusade to eliminate someone. So, it's all garbage, man. It's all garbage. So, much love, everybody. Have a great night. And if you're around Saturday night, join me, 8:05 p.m. for the Don Tony Show. And we will definitely have a lot of good stuff to get into. From my Patreon family, I posted a DM earlier announcing the winners of the Royal Rumble contest. I know it was about a week late, but I had to go through all the entries twice. It got a little confusing because, unfortunately, what some people do is they don't post their entry in the order of the match listing. So when you get someone who writes Lashley and then writes Lesnar, oh, no, Lashley was supposed to be for the heavyweight title. Yeah, but you put it in the section with the Royal Rumble. So you see what some people try to do. See what, like Brock, all right, yeah, okay, you put Brock on the top, you know, because you for the Royal Rumble, men's winner, and then you have Brock versus Lashley is the fourth answer. Then you get someone who reverses it and says, oh, no, I figured Brock would win against Bobby Lashley, but then Bobby Lashley would enter the Royal Rumble. And it's like, come on, man. You know, if you put it in a certain order, just answer it in the same order. I don't know if people do that on purpose, but, you know, it's what I try to do, little trick for everybody out there, if you ever run contests, what I like to do is I take the answers, the winners for the matches, and I type it up. And I will sometimes even print it out on a piece of paper. And then I'll put it against my monitor with a little piece of, you know, post-it note or something. And I just go down the list and I could look right next to it and see, okay, this person got two wrong and I could fly through them. But the problem is this person posts question number four is question number one and question number six and it just throws it all out of whack. So that's why it gets delayed. But all right, everyone. Thank you as always for supporting what I do over here. It is much appreciated. And I want to give a big shout out to everybody here, audio, video, channel member, not channel member. It's just like, thank you just for just supporting me and allowing me to express my opinions. I know not everything I say, everybody agrees with. But, you know, one thing that I always wanted to make certain here that we could have different viewpoints and everybody respects each other. That's the most important thing because it gets very frustrating when you see other places you can't do that. It's very frustrating. But here, you will always have the platform. You'd be surprised how many comments I do not I delete on YouTube, especially where someone, one of you, will say, hey, you know, I loved NXT tonight. And then someone will write, what are you fucking stupid? NXT's garbage. No, that person has a right. Now, if someone wants to respectfully disagree, hey, man, I don't know what you see in NXT because I think it's awful. Okay, that's cool. But when you get into the territory, what are you fucking stupid? Yeah, I just delete them. You never get to see it. So no one's going to pull that shit over here. Some people may hate that. They might call it politically correct. I just call it being a little bit respectful. So, all right, everybody, much love. Good night. I'll see you Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.